Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast.
Of the C2P. I'm your show host, Bo Marchand, and as always, we appreciate you stopping by and joining us as we bring you the next collection of tomorrow's 2020 NFL Draft Stars. We bring them to you today here on the C2P platform, Apple Music, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, all opportunities to download and listen to our featured guests. We have one of the fastest men available in this 2020 NFL Draft class. He spent the entire career at Penn State with the grad year going to James Madison, fabulous ending to his collegiate career, puts up 1,000 yards. He's a Gary Clark recipient, one of my favorite players of all time. Should be in the Hall of Fame, but that's a topic for another day. But it's none other than Brandon Polk. Brandon, welcome to the program. How's this afternoon treating you?
This afternoon, again, thank you for having me on this podcast. But, you know, this afternoon has been doing well. Going great, actually.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Fabulous career, and you did your thing at Penn State, and your final season at James Madison. I mean, everything really came to fruition for you. You really put up some standing numbers. What was it like just making that transition and getting acclimated to, you know, a new system, new teammates, new coaching style, but having the season that you did?
I mean, I felt like it was, a pretty easy transition to the guys that were there. I mean, there were a lot of guys there that had the same aspirations. We wanted to make the national championship. We wanted to, do big things. There's a lot of guys in that senior class there that have, aspirations, again, to go to the next level. So, I mean, I felt like it was really easy for me to transition in with those guys because, we were all on the same page.
And just a fantastic way to kind of wrap up a college career. Did it go by in a blink of an eye? Can you believe your time as a college athlete kind of come and gone, and now you're preparing for this next football journey?
No, yeah, it's definitely gone by, pretty fast, especially that last year. Even though it was 16, 17 games, almost pretty much an NFL season, it went by pretty fast. I mean, everyone was out there, competing, working hard, We wanted to win the Natty. We ended up not getting it, but, just the being able to be there, not a lot of people get to play in a national championship game. So it's just an honor just to even be there.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, it's great to win, but when you look back, just having that opportunity, how hard it is to get there. I mean, there's so many other teams that would have just begged to be in that position, but you're good and talented enough as a team and as a person to get there. Now, Brandon, I asked this question of all the guys that come on the show, but you I'm really excited to ask because, with the pro days being canceled and everything going on with the coronavirus, everything kind of got axed and as it should, but you were able to have a videoed pro day. Former NFL executive Ken Hierock, he performed it, but you were clocked at 4.28, which is just crazy fast. But I got to ask, growing up, Pop Warner, Pee Wee, did you score 4, 5, 6 touchdowns every game?
I remember when I was younger, when I was 6, or actually when I was 5. I used to be out there practicing before I was technically allowed to practice. My dad was a coach, so I was always around football. And I would practice, would never play in the games. Then the next year, I just remember my dad, we would have these play calls. And basically, I ran a lot of the jet sweep motions that you see now. I pretty much ran that when I was 6. And my dad would point, and even this went all the way till pretty much in middle school. If he put one up, that means I was on the left side running the jet sweep to the right. If he put two up, that means I was on the right side running the jet sweep to the left. So, it would just be every time. I just remember this one time I think I got tackled. This is probably when I was 6 or 7. And my dad's like, why are you getting tackled? Why are you not scoring? You need to score every single play. Every time you touch the ball, you need to be scoring. So if I didn't score, it was my dad was like, this, you need to be scoring every play. I don't care if you're running up the middle. in front of, like, okay, there's 30 people out there. You still need to score. So that was just the expectation that my dad had when I was younger. So for me, I just kind of tried to carry that on just in high school into college. Is like, when I get the ball, I need to score. I don't care how I get there. That's just kind of what needs to happen, because when I was younger, that's just what my dad kind of put in me. Like, it's just, it's a disappointment if I don't score, no matter how many people are out there.
I love it. And one thing, you're going to score, and you're going to be very quick when you get there. There's no time wasted. You're going to accelerate to that thing like a train. Now for you, I mean, you get to Penn State, you do your thing, and then, I mean, what was it like just playing in such a big-time program and being around, you know, such a great atmosphere? I mean, it's one of my favorite places to see a game, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've been there for a few whiteouts, and, you know, the atmosphere, you know, I haven't been to all the stadiums. But for you, I mean, looking back, I mean, how satisfactory was that?
I mean, it's a great, you know, university just to even to go to and even play at. I mean, a lot of great players that play there, and just even like some of my best friends who are now in the NFL right now. It's just the guys that you meet there, you know, lifelong best friends, and just the connection that you make there. So, I mean, I was always grateful to go to Penn State and even play there. I mean, a lot of people would kill to even play at Penn State, and it's just, I was just very thankful that, you know, Coach Franklin, you know, believed in me, and Coach Gaddis and all that coaches that believed in me at the time to offer me. And kind of when I got there, it was kind of crazy because I had gone up there that Saturday, and I went up there, and I originally didn't want to go. I was like, I'll go later on. My dad's like, no, we're going to go now. So I go up there. I think I was there for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I'm like, Dad, I'm coming here. He was like, wait, I thought you didn't want to come right now. I thought you want to come later. He's like, I'm like, no, I'm coming right now. I'm like, I'm going to commit. And my dad's like, well, no, your mom needs to come up here and see it all. So my mom comes up that Monday, and I look at Frank, and I'm like, yeah, this is where I'm going to be. So it was just kind of just how it all played out. I was really thankful for the opportunity.
Excellent stuff. Once again, Brandon Pope, the standout receiver with rare speed, 4.28 speed, one of the fastest men available in this 2020 NFL draft class. Kind enough to take some time to join us here on the C2P. Now, that speed, I'm curious now. You're on the NFL draft radar, but once that video posted up, I mean, you don't have to say what teams, but EMG Sports represents you. Were those guys calling or texting you and saying, hey, the phone's ringing off the hook because teams are just going cuckoo now that they saw what you did with that 40 time?
No, yeah, there's definitely some teams that kind of reached out to me. There was a couple teams that, like, when I flew home from Atlanta, were texting me and calling me, asking to talk to me. So it was really – it's a really fun time to, you know, see, you know, speed is just an asset that teams want.
Yeah, and for you, I mean, I'm kind of the backtrack a little bit. I mean, how did you kind of end up at the receiver position? Did you play running back, quarterback at all in high school? And if not, I guess, when did you kind of, you know, get to that wideout position?
So for me, all pretty much when I was six, middle school, I was always a running back because I'm 5'9". I pretty much was that in middle school. So I was always the bigger guy. So I was always taller. Wasn't necessarily like the strongest, but I was always the biggest guy. So I was always in the backfield. And my dad would pitch it to me right, pitch it to me left, jet sweep right, jet sweep left. So then when I got into high school, that's when I kind of had to transition to becoming a receiver. Because they looked at me, they're like, you're not big enough. Like, I weighed like 155 pounds. They're like, we can't put you in the backfield. Like, you have to start playing receiver. So I kind of, at that point, I had to transition because I was just so used to catching pitches, like versus someone actually throwing me the ball. I mean, I never had problems with that, but it was just a big transition for me coming from getting a pitch to getting someone throwing the ball to you. So pretty much in high school, that's when I transitioned to a receiver.
And then the rest is a successful history as you've been able to accomplish so much and you're well on your way. I ask all the guys that come on the program, Brandon, I mean, if we threw you in the film room and scouts are breaking down tape of you, obviously that speed is evident, but what are the other home run hallmark abilities to the receiver position do you think they're going to fall in love with?
Just my knowledge of the game. Just, you know, being able to, you know, think on the fly and basically the ability to get open because, I mean, you can have speed, but if you don't know how to use it correctly, it's useless, because you can sit out there and you can run 4-2, but if you can't even catch a football, or you don't even know how to run a route, or you don't even know how the defense is going, then you're not helpful to the team. So I feel like just my knowledge and be able to, you know, learn how to, you know, use my speed and to create opportunities for me to get open and or, you know, just start using the game within the game. Maybe, you know, maybe one route I'll do this, knowing I'm not even an option to get the ball. But just doing something to set something up for later, I think is definitely helps you out and definitely what I kind of put into the game this year.
Excellent. And how about this one? We just asked this to benefit you because we know the guys at the next level do listen into the show. Is there anything that they can't see on tape that they need to know about? I mean, could be you're a film junkie, a weight room warrior, team captain. Maybe the offenses that you ran didn't allow you to do certain parts of the route tree. I mean, is there anything that you need to share with these guys that's a big boost for you?
No, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm that guy that you know, always count on. I'm in the film room a lot, and I think that's just a credit to, you know, the guys that I used to, you know, be around, like Deshaun Hamilton, Saquon Barkley, all them kind of just I saw what it took for them to get to the position where they're at now, and that's just what I want. So I knew that in order for me to be great, in order for me to do the things that I know I can do, I took bits and pieces of the people that – you know, made it or kind of laid down the platform for me to pretty much make it my own, and I got to this position because of them.
Yeah, and 22 days away, April 23rd, 24th, 25th, Brandon Pokes, one of the names that we got to watch as this NFL draft unfolds. And, again, this kid brings so much talent and positivity to the position. Now you come across as a humble kid. What's it like lining up against you? I mean, do you turn into a little bit of a diva receiver out there? I mean, kind of take us what it's like. I mean, 3rd and 9, you know, maybe not want me guarding you, but, you know, I'm guarding you. What's it like for me to line up and see you coming at me?
For me, I stare into the eyes of the other person. I don't say much unless something is said to me. So I kind of go out there. I do what I need to do. I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. I'm not talking to other people, getting ahead. That's not my game until you want to open that up, and then I'll start playing that game within the game, if that's what you want to do. But for me, kind of going out there and doing my job, I don't need to be causing all this attention, getting flags for no reason, no talking. That's just wasteful energy. So for me, that's not how I start. I'll come out there, I play whatever. Sometimes I even talk to them during the game, like just regular. Like, run play, Pat. Like after the play's over, I'll talk to them. Say like whatever they say something to me. Like I'll talk. Like have normal conversation. But I mean, if you start saying cool. something to me and start, then that dog will start coming out to where you don't. That's not who you want to mess with.
Excellent. And I wouldn't want to make you mad because, like I said, I know once you get me, you're not catching up. I know that part. Once again, Brandon Pokey, stand out. 4 years at Penn State, graduate at James Madison, and again, one of the top players in the conference in his final year at collegiate football. Brandon, before we let you go, we have a few off-the-wall questions. Are you ready to take a shot with some of those?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, now take us to now. You had a couple universities that you've been able, so I'll allow you to pick any coach that you remember. What coach got impersonated the most, and would that impersonation be done in front of them?
Yeah, Coach Gaddis, who's now at Michigan. All of us when we were at Penn State were pretty much, you know, saying in front of him or like whatever we had to do. It was just fun. We always had fun in games when he was around.
I love it. And for you, I mean, you got this crazy speed. When's the last time you wagered money and maybe, you know, with friends or something, you were able to kind of bank on the speed because somebody thought they could take you in a 40 or something?
It hasn't been for a while. A lot of people don't necessarily want to race me. They don't even want to put money up. I remember once, actually, this was in high school. I had one of my friends, we were on the track one day, and he was like, all right, he's like, I know you're fast, but let me see if you're really fast. I was like, okay. He was like, you start at the 100 meter, and I'm going to start at the – he's like, I'm going to have a 30-meter head start. And he was like, there's no way you can beat me. And I was like, I promise you I'll beat you. And he's like, no. So we start up, and he's the one saying go. So I'm not even saying go. So he's saying go, and I beat him, and he was like, okay. Okay, you're pretty fast.
that's a great story, man. Hey, man, that's game, set, match on that one. And the final question, we got about 30 seconds. Who's the best cook in your family, and what would you like that person to have prepared as you celebrate draft weekend?
Best cook in my family would be my mom, and definitely her chicken Alfredo. She makes the Alfredo sauce from scratch, so, I mean, it's definitely one of the best things.
Excellent stuff. Brandon, man, I can't wait to see you do your thing. You're going to be doing it the next level. It's going to be fun to watch. But, hey, stay humble, stay hungry, be blessed, and we appreciate you joining us here on the C2P.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
No problem. Thank you. Once again, that is Brandon Polk. And this can bring so much more than speed. We like to touch base on the speed, but that's what just captivates people. You know, the combine, people love the 40. But when you're running 4.28, and he joked to Brown about it, you know, when he was down in Atlanta for that pro day, he said, you know, he was getting some texts and calls from teams because, I mean, that just sets you on fire. And this is the greatest time to be hot, as we're under a month away from this 2020 NFL draft. And you're going to be seeing more of this young man. You're going to be seeing him doing his thing at the big-time level we call the National Football League. As always, we appreciate you listening to the C2P.
This has been a C2P exclusive.